Bray, also known as Mr. Bray, and I'm your resident nerd. I also got my co-host on, Kevin Blue. You want to say hello, buddy?
Yo, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. So before we start it, I just want to let you guys know the topic of this episode is going to be sound design tips in animation and filmmaking, which is really, I mean, for both of Kevin and I, this is a real fun topic to nerd out on, but it's really Kevin's wheelhouse. I mean, that's one of the things that he probably geeks out the most.
Yeah, man.
So Kevin, talk to us a little bit about your experience with sound design. What you love about it?
You know, man, I actually never been asked that question. I think the main thing I like about sound design is usually when you're doing anything within sound design, you're usually making something that somebody's already created. Like, so for instance, with like movies and stuff, everything's already done, everything's already finished, everything's already polished and everything. Okay, now you got to go through that film and make things sound like what they're supposed to sound like, but you're doing it in your own way. So essentially, you're making the movie as well. You know what I mean? So it's just another venture there, but it's awesome. I absolutely love it. There's nothing that can take me away. Like, I'm sorry, man. When I get to throw an explosion sound effect behind something and I get that bassy feel, the sound of the movie is what gives you that feel, you know?
Oh,
the
visual, it brings to life.
Right. Well, the visuals are always there, but the sound, the music, the orchestra, that's what puts you in it, man. That's what gives you it.
I absolutely agree. And I think, I mean, I've heard people argue that sound is like 40%. I think depending on the production quality of what you're doing,
right,
it can be upwards to 60%.
Definitely.
Because first off, when we're dealing with sound, let's break this down. So when people want to put together a film, there's a couple things that, you know, when we watch a film, we don't really notice, the sound design if it's done well. I mean, you're more or less just experiencing it. It's one of those things where you know when the band plays a sour note,
right?
But when you watch a good movie, it's everything done together. The sound, and kind of like the editing, is something that's sort of hidden. It's sort of invisible. But all films actually have multiple layers of audio, and it's easy to think that, oh, there's the dialogue, and then there's the music, and then there's the explosion. Like, that's actually not true. It's a wall of sound. There's a lot going on. For example, there's what's called like the noise floor,
right,
which is where you have that sort of ambient sound. Have you seen the movie A Quiet Place yet?
I have not seen A Quiet Place yet, man. I'm going to definitely get to see that movie, but I can't wait.
I don't want to spoil the film for those who haven't seen it. I've seen it twice, love the film. But one of the things that's so unsettling about it is because it's so quiet. I mean, it was called A Quiet Place, I get it. But for yes, for horror and for the tension and stuff like that. But in life, even when we are absolutely quiet, there's nothing happening. There's always some sort of sound happening.
Right.
There's something a little unsettling about pure, like, no sound. And that isn't quite the case in the movie. There's this element where it's so quiet that it does kind of it's so eerie. You can like hear your own heartbeat. You know, you can hear yourself breathing. And when you do that, when you actually have absolutely no sound, it's unnatural. And so basically, one of the things to think about when you're putting together a film or an animation, think about what's called the ambient noise. So if you're writing, if you got yourself a pencil, think about your ambient noise. And that can be anything from just holding a mic in a room where there's nothing happening. It actually has a sound. It's something that people just don't think about it, right? That ambient sound, that it just adds that nice little noise floor, a little bit of like almost like a rhythm section. You know, it's not necessarily the most important part of the song, but it just has a little bit there that just sort of makes things feel natural.
Right.
But anyways, going back and forth. So Kev, tell me some of your, like, because you're also a musician.
Yes.
So you're about the music behind putting things together.
Yeah,
How do you come up with your ideas? I mean, I know that's a little bit of a generic question, but what gives you the feel for something when you're putting together a sound for it?
Right. I think it's more or less the overall scene. So, for instance, if I have a scene where somebody looks like they're nervous, I might want to draw out my chords a little bit. I might want to I might want to maybe make a gap in the music before I put a drop in or something like that.
Yeah.
Or if I know somebody's running, then I'm going to want something quick. I'm going to want something fast paced that's more drum heavy, maybe. So it's just all based on the scene and what you're looking for, what you're trying to bring out, pretty much. Like so have you ever seen Blue Streak?
Gosh, what's it about? The name sounds familiar.
Martin Lawrence, he's a cop. Yeah, he's a cop because he's trying to get a diamond out of a police station.
Oh yes, yeah. I remember Blue Streak. Yeah,
dude, that movie had so many scenes. Even if you're gonna go Rush Hour, you could say Rush Hour as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But there's so many scenes in that movie where it was just super like lax, and then you have the regular chords, the regular drawn out normal tone, and all of a sudden they break out into a fight, and then the music just completely changes, and that's something that's the stuff right there that I love, man. I love that instant change into from hey, I'm doing this, it's a nice day, and then all of a sudden explosion.
Oh yeah. And there's okay, so talking about the action films, right?
Yeah,
action films do that sort of pulsating thing.
Yeah.
There was a movie which is the one with oh gosh, it's Bad Boys, that's right. Bad Boys. It was just when you said Martin Lawrence, I was thinking of, it's Michael Bay who did, I think, did he do the first
one? Did he do that? One? Did he really?
Yeah.
I could have.
Dude, Michael Bay circa the 90s was awesome. Okay? I don't care what anyone says. Okay, Michael Bay in the 90s was great. Just like Nick Cage in the 90s was
right,
great.
Right.
But Nick Cage is kind of a crazy guy. But he's also been in some really great movies.
Yes.
So, anyways. So, I'm going to get people who are like, hey, diehard Nick Cage fans, or people who diehard hate Nick Cage. But I'm just saying, hey, these guys have their place. But Michael Bay... Michael Bay with his like his action movies, there's just this whole sort of, you get what we now call tropes, right? What you sort of expect,
right?
The trendy music, the kind of heavy sounds, you know, whatever the guitars or the bass, or you get sort of what kind of fits within the genre,
right?
But it's more than just music. But dialing back just the timeline on the history of film, and did we ever talk about this? You ever seen the movie Singing in the Rain?
Singing,
it's a classic
in the Rain
film.
No, I've not seen that. I know the song. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
I know that, so, but I've never seen it. No,
it's a great film to watch. It's definitely if you're a film aficionado, if you want to learn more about the history of film, it's worth watching, because in the film, yes, it's definitely meta. It's about producing movies and during the introduction of sound in movies, because when films first came out, they were silent, but they weren't entirely silent. They were kind of like a vaudeville act, where you'd go to a theater, they'd play the music, they'd play someone be actually at a keyboard or organ or whatever, rocking tunes that go to the movie. So when we always hear that sort of that classic weird piano, like the saloon piano, while you're watching a silent quote unquote film,
yeah,
it's because somebody was at the theater playing an instrument.
That's weird.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, it's kind of cool. But so the evolution of sound in films is very fascinating.
Yeah.
And animation, and this is something I've said in the past, but I think it's true now and will always be true. Animation is always at the razor's edge of new technology. Right. So wherever you want to see new animation styles, just see what the new tech is. So whatever new tech, there's going to be animation involved. And so that's what Disney. That's how Disney was able to rise above. So when Disney came out with Steamboat Willie, and he had all the sound, you know, in this time where everyone was just doing silent cartoons,
right?
He was able to, you know, I mean, he wasn't the only one. He just got the most notoriety for it, because actually, Bray Studios, who I'm loosely related to.
Shameless plug there.
Shameless plug, yeah, I know. Hey, well, that's whatever. It's there. People know. anyways. Bray Studios was bigger than Disney at the time, but Disney got more notoriety eventually through color and other sort of technology. But being part of knowing how to integrate sound, being part of that razor's edge tech, really changed animation and filmmaking. And Singing in the Rain has a lot of fun stuff in that film that talks about that. There's some really great jokes. I'll wrap up this little tangent, but there's a joke where these beautiful silent movie actors, and then all of a sudden they're on screen and they have the most Mickey Mouse voice ever. And you're like, you have a It's like kind of like, you know, people, you have a face for radio. So these people didn't quite have the voice for the new film era. And that was just part of how sound evolved. Anyways, what's a film, Supri Kev? What's a film that, you know, you think of when you think of ultimately the best sound design? Like, is there a film that you could say?
Oh man!
Like, if you were blind, you'd watch this movie. If
I was blind, I'd watch this movie. You know, I hate to say, wow, this is gonna be weird. This is gonna be weird because, you know, a lot of movies really do a great job when it comes to sound design. There's nothing that that doesn't get me now. Especially how the heck does that sound translate into real live action? I always saw that in the cartoons. I was like, I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. And they put it in the movies, and then it's like this dope, awesome sound, man.
Oh, it's like a dubstep sound, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, they did a really good job with that. But I'd have to think on that. I think maybe. Oh man, dude. Maybe you give me yours first, so I don't sound crazy. I'll let you
come back to it. So there's a film, and if I was deaf, if I was blind, I actually know a guy in high school. His stepdad was blind, and he loved watching, quote unquote, The Matrix.
Really? And you know that was going to be like one of my.
I was like, The Matrix is actually really great sound design. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's other films that sort of pop up, but to me, The Matrix has, there's just so much happening.
Yeah.
I didn't think of this, you know, people who are blind and enjoying films. I mean, right, of course, this is where sound design has got to be like really important to them. And this guy, you know, my friend in high school, his dad, stepdad would just love rocking out to The Matrix because it was such an experience for him.
Yeah, man.
And I'm like, I have to agree with him. I think Matrix is probably one of my top films. If I was blind, I'd watch that movie.
Yo, you know what's so crazy is that was really going to be one of mine. But I was like, nah, The Matrix, I can't say that because it's The Matrix, you know. But that was one of our movie staples. But, you know, I was either going to say that one or Titanic. It's just crazy. So in Titanic, they had a lot of different stuff going on. There was a lot of ambient noise in that movie. There's a lot of ambient noise. There's a lot of background stuff going on. There's a lot of when stuff starts popping off. Oh my God, forget about it. You know. And then on top of that, the music. I cried. Your heart will go on. No.
But that's where it's great sound design. The first time I really paid attention to sound design outside of that high school experience with the friend's dad was when I went and saw Castaway in the theater. I don't know if you've seen Castaway. And I remember like when his plane is crashing, right? And it gets all dark. And then he goes in the water and you could just, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like you can really feel the peril. And it's all like it's water and wind and waves and just this absolute blackness. And it is all sound design right there. It's sound design.
Yep.
So like it's just basically the way I think about it is if your sound design cannot tell the story, like if your film makes total sense without sound design, then you did a bad job.
dude. Okay. I have the opposite question. What would you say is the worst for sound design that you've heard so far?
Oh gosh. I mean, the problem is the worst is always new, right? There's always a new worst. I always feel like the best is sort of the changing, like sometimes, maybe it's still in the top 10, but the worst is always the new worst.
Yeah, man. For me, the very worst one I would say is the movie, I think it's Need for Speed. It's Need for Speed. It was based on a video game. It was the guy from Breaking Bad's in it. It is absolutely horrible. They have one song in the movie, literally one song as their bass, like core audio thing that they keep going to, but dude, they keep playing it, like, for every scene. Like, so he gets the girl, she kisses her, they play the song, he gets in the car, drives off, they play the song again. I'm like, yo,
there's gotta be, you gotta something else.
You gotta do something else, man. You got to. They celebrate after they're having a good time, they play the song again. I'm like, all right, y'all
done lost me. I got a worse for you, but it's also a movie I love.
What you got?
Okay, so the movie is bizarre. It's the most craziest movie you've probably ever seen. And it's called Doom 2. So it's D-H-O-O-M, and then it's 2. So, which I think it's a Bollywood film for, like, action. You will love this movie, okay? But you will also kind of see how horrible it is. It's great. The music is just nuts. It's nuts. And the cuts are equally nuts. It's basically, you take an Indian director and have him watch a ton of Jackie Chan and a ton of Mission Impossible and say, now write a very derivative story. And sequel of Doom is wildly different. Like, the third one is like a mix between, like, Beautiful Mind and Mission Impossible 3. I mean, it's just, weird. Serious? And, like, The Illusionist. It's weird. The third one's, but these are kind of like, okay, so I got hooked on these Bollywood films because they are the best films to watch to not really take things seriously. I mean, they're you know, right. like we have cheesy sci-fi films, right? The Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what's a great cheesy, like, action movie? Well, Doom. Put in Doom. D-H-O-O-M. And the 2. That's the one I like the best. It's bizarre. There's, like, this guy, he parasails in on top of a train and to steal this treasure from this queen lady. And, like, and the main villain is, like, super handsome, hot-looking guy who kind of looks like, you know, an Indian lead singer for Creed, and then he'll break into dancing right in the middle of, like, the movie.
Are you serious?
Start doing a song, dude. Bollywood is nuts. It's a whole other world of crazy.
Yeah.
It's also why it's kind of genius. The film is always great. Like, they always have really good cinematographers, great choreographers. The stories are just bizarre. They're like an improv.
Right.
Like, well, next, and then we dance. And I mean.
Well, so what do we do for this 10 minutes? Just fill it with dancing?
Dance. Just take beautiful people and have them dance. And it's kind of awesome and at the same time horrible. So, like, they're cheesy.
I will definitely check sound this design, out now.
You have to. It's like the music is, because they have this weird, like, Matale, Matale. And it's right. Like, and they have, like, an electric guitar go. I'm like, it's really bad, but I love it.
You know, I've seen a couple of those, like, the clips of, like, the super strong, like, the Indian guy, super, super strong, and he takes, like, a banana, and he's just fighting all these guys with a banana. He's, like, cutting their throats with a banana, shanking them. I'm like, whoa,
what is this? Yes, and so we have to put a disclaimer because I'm going to say the guy's name.
Okay.
So this is, so if you can slap a little disclaimer on there is one little word. This guy, his name is, it's spelled D-I-X-I-T and then something another, but they pronounce it dipshit.
Oh, and, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Like,
that's how you say the name. And he's this main detective guy who travels all around and solves these Mission Impossible crimes. It's, dude, it's bizarre, but it's brilliant. It's horrible, but great. Well, just a little
part of me wonders if it would survive here, though. Like, if we did that, do you think it would?
I think we would expect Jackie Chan to do it, but I don't know if we would actually let a person of color do it because we're horrible, racist America.
Oh, no. But,
well, I'm sorry. But anyways, but because, like, it's so bizarre. Like, the movie's really bizarre. But I digress because I recommend people watching a film like that. I watch all variety of films and pay attention to the sound design. But now let's give the people real sound design tips.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with sound design, when you're putting together your sound design, you have your noise floor, so your ambient sound. So if you guys are ready for the homework part, create your ambient sound. Think about what the room sounds like. So if you have a character in a particular place, a coffee shop, train station, etc., think about that sound. Maybe go there and record some audio on your phone or whatever, or buy some stock stuff for it. Then you have to think about, and this is before we get to dialogue, okay? Then you have to think about if you're going to have music, don't just throw music on a scene. Let it tie into the emotional impact. Don't create your films with wall-to-wall sound. Okay, that becomes, honestly, it becomes a little like droning on for people. Now, sometimes you can, it works. Sometimes it's like that movie Magnolia. But if you don't use the emotion of the music to kind of resonate, you're misusing. So that's the other thing. There's some simple sort of tips. If you're going to have sound, think of your ambient floor. That should be about negative 12 dB. And then your background music, sorry, that's at negative 24 dB, and your background music is at negative 12. So make sure you're putting your levels kind of at that. That will help you. That's sort of a simple across-the-board tips that'll make sure that your sound isn't getting too muddled. And then you put your dialogue on top of that, and your sound effects, put them at minimum, at least like a third or so the dialogue. You don't want the sound effects to drown out the dialogue unless it's integral to the story. So if you have an explosion and someone's talking and we're supposed to hear it, remember, we have to hear it first. So if it's important to the story. So that's the main thing. And I highly recommend, if possible, so I'm just, last little tip is Foley. Foley, try to use real sounds. So making them on your computer is great for economy, but try to use real sounds. Try to get, walk through the bushes instead of just try to find a sample that sounds like someone walking through the bushes.
Right.
So.
Right. I totally agree.
Anyways, yeah. Kev, you got any tips now that we're trying to...
Make sure that your footsteps line up with your footsteps.
I think that is
the one thing that I see a lot that in movies that they don't necessarily really notice, I guess. But sometimes you'll have a guy and he's just full on sprinting, right? But they don't match the footstep sounds to his actual feet. So you wind up having this guy essentially floating in a movie.
Oh, yeah. Timing is critical. And as an animator, I mean, like, I know we're going to be wrapping this up soon. But as an animator, if you're musical at all, if you have any sort of musical ability, dude, you are in good company. Because animation, when we are going to eventually have a 12 Principles of Animation episode. We recently just did one about tools and stuff like that, but we're going to talk about timing and spacing, and timing is what animation is all about.
Yes,
it's what makes it look really natural. Think about that the same way with your dialogue, right? We've all seen cheesy dialogue that gets off track, right?
Yep.
That's like, and so if it's supposed to be that way deliberately, that's one thing where it's great for comedy, but it's not great for drama. Mm-hmm. So you're going to lose your audience. I'm also a fan. I don't like dubbed voices.
Really?
I will take a, even if it has dubbed voices and there's no other alternative, especially with these sort of Jackie Chan or these Bollywood films.
Yeah, I was
going
to say the old Kung Fu joints.
Yeah. I like subtitles.
Wow, okay.
So give me the subs. I'm okay with subtitles, but that takes me out of the film. That's my personal taste.
Right.
So when you're dubbing people, when you're doing your sort of audio, a lot of people want to talk about the best equipment available. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you can get away with a lot. But I do recommend, if you want to go with an H, like a Zoom recorder for your external dialogue, anything like that. Zoom is great. Stay away from fluorescent lights. Stay away from modems and routers. They will screw up your sound.
Right.
So I'm giving you little tips. General tips, they create some sort of like flickering sound. So just a little rabbit trail, a fluorescent light is actually burning like this gas. It's flickering it fast, and audio recording devices pick that up, and so it gets this sort of buzzing sound.
Yep.
So that'll save you a lot of headache when you're like, why is this, I had this thing set up. One time I was doing this interview with a client, and I had all the things set up, and I'm like, I had that one shot, and I set up two cameras and a mic, and I was like, all right. And then two of the mics just got horrible audio because they were near a router.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, so it's like, yeah. So, dude, I had to pay for it. So think of it that way. Like, while we're learning. Anyways, Kev, do you have any other last little tips we can give?
Oh, man, let's see. Final tips would be, I guess when you're making a track, if you're making music, please let's just make sure that you're fitting your music to your actual scene. So if it's a love scene, please don't put no action music in it. Please don't put any behind it. Don't make it intense. If it's a love scene where this couple, they both love each other and they know they love each other, okay, make it love. But if it's something like the girl doesn't love the guy and the guy loves the girl, and then they're like going, okay, you can make it suspenseful. But please, know your music. Know what you're putting in. You know, Jesse.
Oh yeah. And if you're going to elevate your sound design to the next level, watch Star Wars and think of it this way. If you're a musician, this is really helps. Or if you're in charge of sound design, think about this. Darth Vader has a theme song, right? We know.
When Darth Vader's coming through. Yeah. Right.
So think of it this way. I mean, depending on the strength of the story, especially with epics, I think you owe it to create a theme song per character.
Right.
You know, this song says this character. There's a personality behind it. So then all you have to do is play a couple notes and people know evil is around the corner. Yeah,
that's the guy.
Yeah. And if you are a fan of musicals, so I highly recommend you watch a lot of musicals. One musical that is all you need to watch, and it's a more recent film, is Moana. Great movie, excellent sound design, wonderful colors, character designs, the whole shebang. It's a great film. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really sells, in my opinion, is the score. We have this melody. We get a little introduction to the outro,
right?
We get this melody, and then it starts building up throughout the film. Mm-hmm. There is this central song that's being sung by her, and it gets more and more to the point where it gets really intense, right, when she's about to, basically the lowest part of the film, right? When she's lost all hope, and then she's going to go regain her hope. Right. So think about, if you're a musician or if you're a sound designer that has any sort of influence over the film, talk to the director, talk to the composer, get this sort of, that level of taste involved.
Right.
Think about creating that sort of score. And that way, it will be that signature move. Whenever someone hears a T-Rex sound, though no one knows what T-Rexes sound like, we know that's a T-Rex sound, right? So yeah. it could be off screen, when the trees are rustling, we're like, there's a T-Rex coming.
Yeah.
That's sound design. That's great sound design.
That is. So. Yep. I can. Also, I'm just going to throw this in there really quick. There's a scene, and a lot of people don't know this one. There's a scene in Jurassic Park. All right, because you just said the dinosaur roaring, so it got me on Jurassic Park.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Sound design, Jurassic Park. There's a scene where the raptors are coming, right? Mm-hmm. And they know that the raptors are coming, so the one guy's on the phone and he's like, "You out of a da da da? We got the. I'm holding them back. We're holding them back." So the guy has a shotgun, right? And the guy on the phone hears him shoot. Now, what he hears one shot and two shots, right? With the shotgun. Now, here's the kicker. The scene goes back and the guy puts the shotgun down, right? And there's two shells laying next to the shotgun and one shell in the chamber. Now, this shotgun, you know how a shotgun sounds. If you hear a shotgun, it's supposed to go... No, it was just like a rifle sound that they used.
Oh.
They used a regular rifle sound.
Oh,
not only that, but they left three shells laying there, but he only heard two shots. So it's like a thing where make sure that your sound matches up with your overall scene as well. That one got me. Yeah, because that continuity, man, it got me. I was like, oh no, it took me out the film.
that sort of stuff does take us out of the film. So that said, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Yeah. If you have any questions about whether it's further sound design tips, if you want to nerd out about some really awesome Bollywood films, apparently I like watching them. You can reach out to me at Jesse, J-S-S-E, at MrBray.com. That's my email address. Or Mr. Bray on Instagram. And I'm all the other social webs, so you can find me, and I'd love to chat.
Yes,
so.
Indeed. Same here, guys. You can find me at Captain Blue on YouTube. You can find me at ITZKBLUE on Instagram. I almost forgot my own handles. And you can find me as Kevin Blue on YouTube, on Facebook. And you know, guys, just listen, we're here to give you guys tips on everything from the noise to the creations and all that jazz. We got you.
Oh yeah,
we're all absolutely here for you guys, right, Jesse?
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're going to be talking about storyboarding tips. We're going to talk about we did talk about tools and stuff, so yeah. I highly recommend you check out our most recent episode.
Yes, indeed.
And yeah, we're here to help support you guys, and we'd love to see your films as well. So we'd love to mentor you and help you grow as filmmakers, because as waters rise, so do all boats. So you guys take care, and remember to go forth and nerd.
Peace out, guys. Woo!